With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's The One Show Show, and this is part two of this week's The One Show Show, the podcast that throws shade at TV's The One Show, despite everyone here being too old to really know what that means. Ah, the young people with their lamp-throwing antics. As ever, if you haven't listened to part one of this week's episode, why not go back and do so? Otherwise, this podcast will make no sense, starting as it does from where we left off in part one yesterday. My guests this week, the man and Tatitos regular Mark Haynes, music presenter and journo from Out of Offer of Radio X, Sunter Templeton.
The choice of guests on the video was interesting. They had the paranormal expert who kind of told the story, and then to give it balance, they had another guy who said, you know, well, it could be they imagined it, and they just introduced him as author, and there was no like expertise attached to him. Author of what? He could write gardening books something about cookery, but there was no reason for him to be there.
Even if he's like written books about UFOs, it still doesn't make me go, oh, I trust this guy.
Yes.
You know, it's paranormal investigator. Again, two words that just, you never hear that and go, oh, I feel happier about this now.
They decided to drive underneath this hovering object, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. As the car was directly underneath, this object emitted like a heavy silver curtain of light.
This guy doesn't seem like a waste of space. Even the paranormal investigator said, I mean, this is something that may have happened.
Well, I suggested the use of hypnosis as a tool to perhaps retrieve any hidden subconscious memory that may, it's a big word, may have happened that night. Mm-hmm.
Didn't really hit the word may. And one of the guys who'd done the story, they'd contacted him. Contacted for a second time. Yeah. And they contacted him and he said, no, I don't really want to come on. They said he was reluctant to tell his story in person.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know what? If it had happened, you'd be like, honestly, fucking hell, BBC One, right, I can tell people, no one believes me, but I tell you what, I went up in a spaceship and I think all it is it's just that thing of going, I think I know what happened. I don't really want to go on BBC One and explain, you know, the reality of what this was, you know. And I'm not going to say what I think the reality is, because at the end it comes out and Angelica's like, Matt, you believe in aliens, don't you, fucking moron?
Yeah. And he's like, I do! I do!
So, no, can I just say that Matt believes there's aliens out there?
I do.
And then, trusty, every symbol, it could be microbes. And Angelica Bell was like, yeah, that I believe. Yeah, I do believe in aliens. All
and
over
then there
the
was
shop.
A sort of weird discussion where, for 20 seconds or so, not even that, the One Show tried to sort of solve the great philosophical questions of life.
Yeah. Mm.
Listen, when you look at how obscure life is on this planet, there's got to be other life out there, don't you?
I completely agree. I'm with you.
Honestly. Do you not think there's anything
else? No, I think
else
there
out
has
there
to be something, but not like little green
I know, like microbes or something. Oh, there's got to be. I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so. It'd be nice.
Yes. Oh, exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. What are you doing standing on a forecourt with a triangular plane in front of you?
When they opened up that show, they opened it with a shot of that triangular plane outside. And for like a brief minute of elation, I thought the Chinese army have taken over the One Show. Fucking yes. They're going to execute Matt.
This was a piece of technology. It was a flapless plane,
right?
That was triangular shaped, a bit like a sort of space. You can see why that film was in there, because it was a sort of sci-fi shaped plane.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, one of these sort of triangular thing.
Yeah, a sort of drone sort of fighter jetty.
And it's interesting you use the word drone, because I very much completely zoned out whilst the guy droned on about it,
as did everyone else who stood there.
Going back to the Wright brothers, they used wing warping, so they twisted the wings.
Yep.
And then somebody came along and invented this thing, which was like an aileron going up and down.
I saw this taking place and I didn't listen. I couldn't listen. I just didn't hear it.
No.
It just I didn't go in at all.
But neither did anyone else. They all just stood there nodding blankly. Ooh. Like, we don't understand what you're talking about, but we don't want to be rude.
Yeah, it was a flapless. So obviously the way planes fly, you know, you've got the flaps and the alter the wind speed over the wing, and that's what takes them up and down. Yeah. Right, but this they've invented that is just a sort of solid, it doesn't move on the outside. Now, the big question is, they've spent millions developing this, and it's had the first flapless flight has happened, which just made me laugh.
Oh, good for them. I mean, it impacts my life in no way. Well done.
Well, exactly. You sort of go, well, but planes already fly. It's fairly.
Yeah.
Why do you need that? Now, they were trying to explain about it's lighter and all the rest of it, which is environmental probably or something. And by then, I'd zoned out as well,
yes.
So I don't really know. It was called the Magma, I think. That's what I learned from it. But what I did like was the fact that the one show crew, because on its own, it was just a white plastic triangle on wheels. So to liven it up a bit and make it look a bit more spacey, they shoved some blue lights on the floor underneath
fluorescent tubes. Yeah. And that was... It was also, because when this UFO thing started, Matt was like, we're going to be doing a bit of a sci-fi special this week. And that was only the UFO thing. That wasn't sci-fi, that plane. It's a plane. That's engineering.
Yeah.
And the tubes, you're absolutely right. They're like going, ooh, from the future.
Just some blue glow on the underneath it, because otherwise it just looked shit.
Yeah. And then, of course, my blue plaque.
Oh.
My
from blue tubes to blue plaques. This
you're
was
like Matt Baker.
I'm learning from the master.
Blue plaques. We see them dotted around the UK, acclaiming well-known historical figures and the buildings they lived and worked in.
This was amazing.
Oh, wasn't it?
So the people of Hull
were
questioned as to what in their lives that they've done or seen,
or words,
or survived, should warrant a blue plaque.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the answers were spectacular.
This is my blue plaque. I fell down some steps in the first week of February 2019.
We started, though, with the one about Claire, who nearly died while waiting for a green man to cross the road.
Yeah.
Which made no sense.
Yeah.
Because that's to stop you from dying.
Yeah.
Crossing the road.
These were the ones that have been put out like by a local artist, weren't they?
They were the originals. Yeah. I thought, oh, well, they're not going to get weirder than that. I was so wrong. Was
the stuff in the intro weird that wasn't explained, right?
Yeah.
Because there was the first one they said was, so he's in Hull, we've got these blue plaques for local legends.
Yeah.
Like Rod and Brenda, who invented chip spice.
Commemorating Rod and Brenda, who invented a local delicacy, chip spice.
Or in 1984, when Lee gave a croggy to Sandra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a blue plaque, which marks the spot where Lee gave a croggy to Sandra.
I don't know what chip spice is or a croggy. The
croggy sounds like something you could be arrested for. I'm not sure if that should be celebrated.
Is a croggy when you stand on the back of someone's bike or something like that? I don't know. But I think what they've been done was those sort of local artists had done those, and they were sort of like, I don't know, maybe his thing is going, yeah, blue plaques are just all about boring chemists who are long dead from an imperial, you know, why don't we celebrate real things that make a difference to people's lives?
Yeah.
And it's a bit of fun. But I can see why they went, oh, that'll be good. Let's get everyone to do their own personal blue plaque. But when you get people whose answer is just, my children.
Yeah.
A blue plaque that says on it, Sandra, my children. You know, this is the problem with giving content to people who aren't necessarily generators of content.
I liked Kevin, because he wanted a blue plaque because the best job he ever had was in a shoe factory.
It was. Yeah. I like that one.
Shoe factory, best job he ever had.
Where was the factory?
Esel Road, corner of Beaton Street, yeah.
But it's not exactly the birthplace of Isambard Kingdom Brunel, is it? But I still liked it.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah.
But of course, our favourite was the lady who fell over and carried on drinking.
Yeah, Natalie fell down some steps here but kept drinking.
So you fell down some stairs?
Yeah.
Oof, and what happened? Were you, how badly injured were you?
Oh, just had a bruise, that's it.
Oh, you just got up and carried on?
Yeah.
You didn't feel a thing until the following day?
Yeah, exactly.
That's her achievement in life.
And that I salute. I love her. I have a kinship with her, and I also want that blue pack.
Oh, I also note that the one show, although they would have a prop budget, because we saw that later in the week, but they didn't make the blue plaques for these people at all. They went to Hull, showed them a generic blue plaque that just said blue plaque and a blank space on it, i.e. what would you like to see written here?
Yep.
And then showed it in graphic form where they just mocked it up CGI. To show on the CGI.
I suppose even if you were printing them out, you'd have to go back the next day, wouldn't you? And, you know, I can't imagine wealthy cameramen are going, I'll spend 2 days in Hull happily. I've been told I like Hull a great deal. My favourite one on this was the chap who he wanted a blue plaque. And bear in mind, this is Hull. And they said, what would you have a blue plaque for? And I don't think they'd explained it to him very well. And he just went, I'd like a plaque for Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel.
I'd like a plaque with Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel.
Great band.
They did Top of the Pops in 1974. It changed my life. Like that is, so they were like, oh, well, let's mock that one up then. And up it came, Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel.
And once again, that's something you cut out of the finished film. Is not leaving.
Isn't it? That was a perfect example of that piece of just going, so long as you say something, we'll put it in.
Yeah.
Just it'll move quick enough and no one will actually have time to go, does any of this make any sense at all?
Wednesday? Did you see Wednesday?
I did see Wednesday.
This was a disruptive goat.
There were goats. And I love goats. So I was hooked from the goat tease. But then they waited for the entire show until we went back to the goats.
Yeah. Funny.
Bastards.
We are fond of them. We love them.
Can't think of any other town where you've got something so unique.
Goats.
Well, that goat film was spectacular.
It was brilliant.
I rather enjoyed it. It was in Llandudno, and there's goats that live on the hills just outside, but they come into town, don't they?
Oh, they cause all sorts of trouble.
Those naughty goats.
They eat bushes.
Yeah.
They ruck in the roads.
They have a lot of headbutt, don't they?
Yeah.
They wander around eating all the daisies.
They annoy a school teacher.
He
has to get them off the school field every morning.
Oh, it really upsets him, doesn't it?
I'd have enjoyed this film far more had I not seen it almost exactly the same the day before on Britain in Bloom, which is a BBC programme that I've only seen because when you watch something on iPlayer, for me, it always goes, next thing that plays is Britain in Bloom. And it plays after I've watched the one show. It will automatically start playing Britain in Bloom. And it's on the one that I watched the other night was Series 2, Episode 12, because it just plays constantly. So they're going to come back and they're going to go, do you know Britain in Bloom? BBC, on iPlayer, it's had over 50 million, you know, because it just doesn't fucking stop. But the one bit of it that I've actually seen was about these fucking goats in Llandudno. And it must have been made exactly the same time, and it's different shots, but it's the same story.
It's the same, but just re-edited. Probably the same footage.
Different footage, same people, the same school teacher was in it. The same hillside that they showed the goats on was used in the Britain in Bloom one as well.
Yeah.
Really odd, not joined up there. I think that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
A bit weird.
But you know, overall, I liked the goats as well.
I liked the goats. Yeah. And I was, when they had the goat in the studio at the end, praying for a Blue Peter moment, I thought, this is going to be great. It's going to shit on the floor. Matt's going to fall over. Come on.
Can we bring him round just a little bit, just so we can... There we are. I know we're in the live studio here, but you're doing ever so well.
Sadly, it didn't happen.
No,
stupid
it didn't.
Goat.
It was a strange... it was one of those films, again, that was a little bit pointless. Quirky, certainly, that's fine. But the only reason it seemed to be there was because of Secret Life of Pets 2.
Yeah.
That the man from Modern Family, whose name I forget.
I didn't even write it down.
Eric Stone Street.
Thank you.
But I looked it up.
There we go. He's voicing something in Secret Life of Pets. That's got animals. An animal is a goat.
Angelica made it clear. She said it is so hotly anticipated, the Secret Life of Pets 2. Good example, this, of a star who probably couldn't really get to sell this film on any other platform. And the ones show are like, well, he's a big star, let's have him on. There was a big advertorial for this film. And again, they had they had the words rat turd in the clip that they showed.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. It's been a weird week for the one show and sort of bad behaviour. Yeah. The cocaine T-shirt, someone calling Matt a wanker last
week. Tit grab T-shirt.
Tit grab, rat turd, Joe Pasquale talking about his dick. You know, weird week.
There was a nice couple on there who are doing quite an amazing project, actually, where they're doing this global sleep out for to raise money for homeless charities in all sorts of cities across the world. They were quite interesting. That's quite an interesting project to do, I think, to pull that together. Like a sort of homeless Live Aid, it seems to me.
Yeah.
So they've got Will Smith involved, Dame Helen Mirren, and they're doing it in Chicago and New York. And they told a story about how they got the mayor of New York on side, so on and so forth. But what I did like most about the whole thing was what... she didn't mean to mock a Chinese accent, the lady.
I've written that on the top of mine there.
But she did say... United Kingdom.
So the problem with homelessness in the United Kingdom at the moment is really pretty awful.
I liked it the most because as she got to the bit where she was going, cruh, you could see her thinking, ah, oh, I've done this wrong. She had to keep going, United Kingdom.
No one mentioned it. Fine, just moved on.
I'd have loved it if Matt had just leant in and gone, sorry, where? Not heard of that place. What is it? Speak.
He did. What day was it Matt did do that? He muttered something. It was Russell Tovey, I think.
And we're just making sure that no kid sits down hungry to do his exams.
It's just about giving families their basic needs.
Just really kind of just correcting him.
I missed that.
Yeah, just to sort of just because Matt plays the game.
Yeah.
You know, he does it right. He wants it to be balanced. So he just sort of corrected it without making a point. But if anyone criticised it, he could go, no, I did that. I corrected that.
But totally. In a similar vein, did you notice, so on Tuesday, they billed Phil Neville coming up on Wednesday's show, but then Phil Neville wasn't on Wednesday's show. The Lionesses were on. And I wonder if somebody in production went... Do you think maybe it might be a bit mansplainy to have the male boss of the Lionesses talking about their chances in the World Cup rather than the players?
That is a very good point. Absolutely. I hadn't spotted, of course.
Yeah. I thought that was a excruciating piece. Not because of the players. The players were fine. But because neither Matt nor Angelica have any interest in football. And the problem is they've brought them on with a sort of thing of going, you are serious sports people. And absolutely, 100% they are. And the questions they were asked were so fucking banal that you would never ask those of a male sports star.
And they couldn't cope with the amount of people on the sofa. They didn't know who they were asking the questions to.
No, not at all. Matt reverted to type. We mentioned this last week. First Women's World Cup for you. Fantastic. I mean, what is it like?
So what is it like for you? And what a dream come true, he said.
Which is, what is it like?
What is it like?
What is it like? And then Angelica was trying to do a thing about football and they'd watched a sort of goal go in and she was like, what she wanted to say was, oh, it's really important to get that first goal because that really invigorates the team and you really feel like you're on the upward curve. And what she ended, it dragged her down. And she said, it's so important to get that first goal so you can get on the table.
It is quite a big deal just to get that first one in the net, isn't it? So you can just get your momentum going and you feel like, yeah, we're in this and, you know, get on the table.
Get on the table! How are you doing? Yeah, it's fine, we got on the table.
Yeah, it's not Hooters.
you mentioned that thing about the women where he's sort of going on women. At the end of it, Matt sort of says, well, best of luck to you at the, whatever it is, it's some cup. Best of luck to you at this cup.
It's the World Cup.
Is it the World
Cup?
Yes. Got you. Best of luck to you at the World Cup. And... good luck to Scotland too.
Well, we wish you all the very best. A huge round of applause for Nick and his club. And good luck to all of the players in Scotland who are sitting hoping that they're going to make it too.
There we are. That's the nature of football, isn't it? That you go, who do you support? You go, I support England and Spain. You know, choose a fucking side.
The American chap, whose name I've forgotten again from Modern Family.
Eric Stone Street.
Thank you. Also got involved like American. He was trying to play along. It was like, well, okay, I can just join in with this chat. And that's fine. That often works. It didn't on this occasion because he also didn't really know anything about women's football, which is fine. He doesn't need to. But he kept asking them what they'd won and what they hadn't. And then kept saying, well, you didn't beat America, did you? Mm. And they were sort of going, well, yeah. Because we got to the last... Basically, he forgot that he was talking about women's football and he was talking about football. Mm. And then when he realised, he sort of said, well, you didn't beat America. And they said, yeah, we did beat America. And then he went, oh, not in the big game.
You beat the USA last time?
In this cup, the Big Leagues Cup, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you mean so not the World Cup.
Yeah. So in the...
No, that's this year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So now in the big one, you didn't beat...
Meaning the men's wise? Oh, you mean the men's one?
There is that thing about if you do bring up... Now, women's football is very much... Everyone sort of looks down on it. I don't understand why, if you like football, you don't also go and see women's football.
Because it's the skill is the football, right?
Yeah. That's the point. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. And the problem with that is if you bring them on to go, they are as serious, you know, and they are. They're as athletic and, you know, the games are as important and as national and we should all get behind it.
Yeah.
You can't then bring them on and sort of go, so what was it like?
Yeah.
You know, it's so disrespectful.
And also, talk about gender pay gap. If you're looking for a gender pay gap, I think in sport, particularly football, I know it's all to do with sponsorship, but as you say, the game is the same, the thrill is the same, the excitement is the same, but because it doesn't draw the crowds, because you don't promote it in the same way, that's why.
It will be, but the sort of level of the questions that they were asking are the sort of things that you would have seen on Blue Peter or Newsround. If they'd have brought on an actor and they'd have gone, so, you know, do you have to pick your own... costumes. you have to have a bit of respect for people who are proper, bona fide, top of their profession people. And they didn't really have it. And what it makes it look like is you're sort of going, well, we know that real people play a real game of football, but look at these mummies. These mummies are giving it their best shot. And I thought that sort of made me cross and angry.
Yeah.
It really did fuck me off.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Did you, Santa, like the one of my? I think my favourite films of the week was the English Lessons in Yorkshire.
Yeah, Talking Yorkshire.
Yeah,
it was wonderful, wasn't it?
What a lovely guy doing this.
Yeah, I mean the guy, the Jordanian guy, who was I think he was a lawyer, and he was learning English, but instead of just kind of learning Queen's English, it was about learning Yorkshire English,
which they tried to pass off as English.
Off to the pub. That means to say that I'm off to the pub. So it's a
After va pub.
You'll get there eventually.
Because I think it made it was just odd. They kind of sat in a classroom and they're going, "A up, it's A up."
And then she went, "And that's English for hello."
A up,
hello.
Like,
Hello. Yeah, it's like saying hello.
There was a bit of controversy over this bit.
Because really?
Lem Cisse, MBE, he wrote, "Oh my God, the one show" on Twitter. "Oh my freaking word. I don't believe this. The Asian community has been in Yorkshire for years, like 50 years.
Yeah.
And I think his basic thing was sort of saying, we're doing this, like, look at what this new idea is. Maybe one day they'll speak like us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we know full well that if you go to Leeds, Bradford, Manchester, you meet people from all over the world who speak with those accents, you know? Yeah. And what they didn't sort of go is, you know, they tried to make it about him, which was lovely, but what they didn't sort of go is there is a rich, long heritage of people adopting the colloquialisms of where they live.
It was a cross between Rufus Jones's sitcom Home.
Yeah.
And the 70s sitcom Mind Your Language.
Yes, it remind me of that.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Just some foreign people. Oh, look at the foreign people. They don't know how to speak English, do they? Yeah. Put them in a classroom and teach them to... Also, the woman said, Yorkshire. We say Yorkshire. It's called Yorkshire, but we don't pronounce the H.
And remember, we might write the H in Yorkshire, but we often don't say it.
What, so... All those people go, "That's a Yorkshire."
And I thought the teacher was terrifying when she was role playing with them. Is that how you turn a wheel in a car?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what I'm here to learn. No. Stop shouting at
me. And she was like to this woman who was learning, who was, you know, wearing a headscarf and things. She was like, "Right, now you're a cab driver." And I was a bit like, I'm not sure this is a role play that's necessarily going to be used. But this woman was really game, playing along, turning on, going, "Where to, love?"
So you're in this country now, and you need to imagine you're a cab driver. Can imagine you're a groomer of young girls.
But then, of course, the teacher snubbed them. They said after the film, "We'd hoped to have her here, but she was too busy to join us on the
too
one show."
Busy.
Oh, we're big fans of Kim.
We love Kim.
Oh, she was busy tonight.
And I thought, oh, she didn't want to come and put any more kind of credence on that film.
I sometimes wonder a lot of these things when they sort of go, they didn't, you know, they couldn't be here. I always think, have they sort of thought, oh gosh, now the council can see what I'm doing with my grant.
But there was a lovely moment off this I love that the man whose name I've forgotten from Modern Family,
Eric Stone Street,
thank you, took over the show and did a little test on Alex and Matt as to which area of America.
I thought it was very good accent.
So he said, you know, America, they said, "You're from Kansas." He said, "Well, that's sort of generic American. There's not really a Kansas accent," and which is why I think he can then bolt on all the regions of America. And then he tested them. But there was a great bit when Matt said, smugly, just went, "Oh, well, that was Wyoming."
Yeah.
Something else where you're down and you're talking about
southern.
Giving
Iowa.
Some
I'd say Wyoming.
No, that's north.
Oh.
That's north and west.
Oh. Yeah. And it was wrong. It was Alabama.
Yeah.
I played along with that and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But Angelica Bell, she's very competitive.
Mm.
And so I think the first one was, she said, "Texas, no." And he went, "No, you were right." And she went, "Yes, I knew it."
If I was talking like this and said I wanted some chili for dinner.
Texas? No.
Texas.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love that. It's really sort of like, got to get it right. But yeah, I got 3 out of 3, Angelica. After any of them either.
When I heard the phrase during this episode, "We've got a brand new series of films," my heart sank.
Tonight, we're going to kick off with a brand new series of films that we're calling In Bed with Britain.
Yes. Now, it's all above board. We're literally going undercover to see what you're talking about just before the lights go out.
Now, this was a counterpoint to the one we've already talked about of the children in the morning being filmed getting ready for school in their hazmat suits. Because this was a series of films that we now know is going to unfold over the coming weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Of people's bedtime routines. Bedtime routines of couples across Britain.
All I'm going to say is I jokingly, on the previous episode, I jokingly said I'd like to see the bedtime routines of teenage girls. They have obviously had that conversation because they've now done it. Well done.
Not with teenage girls, Mark, sadly.
Well, then I will not be watching.
Our most private and intimate moments are in bed. But before we nod off, our conversations are a window into our lives. This is In Bed with Britain.
But this was with couples. And again, speaking of things like sitcoms, this was like Human Remains.
You do annoy me quite a lot, even in the small time I spend with you.
Well, you spend 3 nights a week here, and you went, "Well, that's too much."
It's like a Todd Solondz film they've made.
It was so bizarre. And this was the opening couple in this brand new series.
Amazing.
It's like, what is this?
Amazing.
It was, I couldn't, because it was like, they, passive aggressive. He was, they were lying next to each other on the bed. Mm. And he was saying, yeah, do you want to move in? Do you want to? And she's going, no, I absolutely don't want to move in. And then it would cut to him, film did a cutaway talking head. But doing that Human Remains thing where Rob Brydon had to sort of pretend everything was fine.
Yeah.
It works. It works as it is. And it's pointless trying to fix something. Yeah, just for the sake of other people, really.
I didn't see this at all. I missed this.
It was the strangest. The first couple.
The first couple, who were the alternative tick box, the girl with the shaved head, which was dyed orange, uh-huh, and all the tattoos, and her kind of her boyfriend, who looked like Michael Eavis,
looked younger, Michael Eavis.
Sexy. You know,
only one person should have that look, and that is Michael Eavis. It's odd.
Or some kind of Amish elder.
Yes, and their bedtime chat was about how she didn't want to live with him because she didn't really like him. It's clearly the dying days of their relationship, but for some reason they've got a camera in
there. Why would she agree to have the camera in there? Why wouldn't you sort of go, do you know what, Michael, this is not probably I don't think it's a great idea. And then you sort of go, because, you know, I know where this is going. Instead, no, bring the fucking camera in. Right, we're going to leave the camera, see how you get on. Okay then, door shut. Michael, yep. Fucking hate you. It's over.
One of the other couples, they go, before they go to bed, they have a test. He tests his partner as to what they've got coming up. Ugh. So when are we going to see Kylie? And he has to get the date right. When are we doing this? When are we taking the doctor? And it's like, that would make me full of such anxiety before going to bed every night.
Yeah, it was very, and one of them, one guy, he didn't care, did he, about what they were doing. But he made a joke of it, just go, every night he's got his diary with testing me on when the car's going to be fixed and all this kind of stuff. And if I don't get it right, he's going, this sounds awful.
It sounds absolutely nightmarish.
Winter cats. It's a vet's appointment.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, well done. And when are we picking up the car?
Tomorrow
as well. It's a very stressful day tomorrow.
So at the end of the night, James usually gets his diary out and fills me in on our next month's schedule.
Tantamount to abuse.
Is this what normal people are like?
But they're going around Britain, and they were very keen to say at the end, so we could come to you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now, the best thing off the... Because this was Thursday, actually,
yeah, this is Thursday.
And the guests on the sofa were Matthew Broderick, mm-hmm, off of Ferris Bueller Day Off.
Yep.
And Elizabeth McGovern off of Downton Abbey.
Gotcha.
And they came back to them after the... So, first of all, off the back of the film, Angelica said, what do you talk about when you go to bed, Matt? And he looked like, we haven't rehearsed this.
What do you talk about, Nicola, when you turn the lights
on? Well, I ask her if she's put the dogs in.
No, you don't.
Are they a couple?
What, who?
Broderick and...
No.
You made a gesture with your hand to the person sitting next to you, and I was like, oh, right.
They're playing a married couple in a...
In a place. So I don't know how films work. I presume that this is just a record of what these actors are doing.
It's a play. But they then said to them, you know, what about your bedtime routines? They clearly hadn't asked them this in... research terms.
Yeah.
Because they did not know what to say.
No.
They're a Hollywood, you know, actors.
Yeah.
And to be faced with this, and what do you talk about with your partner just before the lights
go out? And Elizabeth was quite shocked at how anyone had allowed cameras into their bedroom.
Yeah.
And then kind of talked about how, you know, that we wouldn't have a TV in the room and things like that. And
she was just clutching at things to say out of the air because she had nothing.
But, my husband... kind of improves my personality at the end of the night. It's always good. It's always good. Do you have a chat? Do you talk about what you've done in the day?
We talk about what we've done in the day, and we don't talk about our work very often, I notice.
No.
This is so interesting. Well,
on Tuesday, sure.
Just between us and the world.
Let's move on. On Tuesday...
But she knew it was television and live, and she had to do something.
What's your bedtime routine? You don't have one.
No.
You go to bed. What's your routine?
I literally ignore my partner, look at my phone and go to sleep. Yeah. That's what everybody
does. That's what we all do.
Sometimes I'm indoors, sometimes I'm outdoors. Don't fence me in.
But the whole, the awkwardness with Elizabeth and Matthew Broderick continued for the entire episode. At no point was that interview warm, friendly, conversational. Wow. It was so forced.
The definition
awkward.
Of stilted.
It was awful.
And we've seen a lot of Hollywood stars come through that sofa. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they make a mockery of the fact they don't get it. But these two, I've never seen such an awkward time.
Really?
And you could, near the end, when I looked at the clock and they'd got 4 minutes to go, they knew a Giles Brandreth shit film about naming children was coming up. There was about 2 minutes, but they had to fill like 2.5 minutes between the last thing and this thing. And that conversation was like, Broderick's not a great conversation at all. They were just shutting it all down. Not because deliberately, just because they don't have anything to say or contribute.
How did you cope with that? Both of you being thrust into the limelight so early.
Yeah. I don't know. We should have talked.
Yeah, we should have. Yeah.
We just got through it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered if they'd ever met before, the two of them. And then, of course, they did actually bring up that old photo of them having been... They were in the same photo from, I don't know, decades
1987,
ago.
1987, yeah. I think it was taken. In
outside
Hollywood.
A studio in Hollywood. And they zoom in on them both in this picture. And they were like, oh, we didn't know we were both in this picture at the same time. It's like, no, of course they didn't, because Hollywood's a really big place. Yeah. And they don't all hang out in the pub
together. There were 200
together.
Actors in this photograph. And they weren't next to each other. And it was in 1987 and they didn't remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Always great to have a conversation with an actress and say, so 35 years ago when you... Please don't.
And, of course, Matt did that off the bat with the Ferris Bueller thing. The first thing he told Matthew Broderick as they started was, I was called Ferris at school because I really looked like you.
Matthew, when I was at comprehensive school, my nickname... throughout the whole of school was Ferris.
Oh, really?
And that's because I looked like you when I was younger. And yeah, it's quite an honour to meet you, to be fair.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a failure to sort of understand that there is no answer to that Matthew Broderick can give. You can only go, oh, right, OK, where do you want me to sign?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you can sort of go, oh, tell me more. Tell me more about Skelmersdale Primary, you know? Tell me everything about it. Tell me the names of everyone who called you Ferris. Tell me their heights, their hair colour. I want to know about your teachers. Tell me, Matt. And then fill me in on everything that's happened since then.
And instead, all he said was, well, it's canon. Nice to meet my doppelganger.
and clearly he looks nothing like him.
No. That's how, I mean, we managed to fill 2.5 minutes there talking about it. I mean, that's how it should be done.
Things we learned this week as well. It's always a good thing to talk about things we learned. One, Matt's got a donkey called Luna.
Yes.
You fucking what?
So the film about with Giles Brandreth in the names, which was a waste of time, I think.
Right.
Yes, they clearly just cobbled that together as soon as they announced Archie. They went, quick, go out there and ask people about names.
Quick, Danny Baker wasn't available. So they got Giles Brandreth to come and do this thing where he just walked around. They didn't go far, just around King's Cross Station.
Gotcha.
Just talking to people, saying, what's the name of your children? Then he was in a flower shop saying there was a time when people just named after flowers. Iris, Rose, Daisy. Mm. Yeah, we know. Yeah. It didn't tell us anything.
No.
But then when it cut back, Luna, and they're talking about modern names, so Game of Thrones now is coming through. Yeah. People are calling their kids fucking Daenerys or something.
Oh, they.
Jeez. Mm. John was mentioned, J-O-N, as though that was a new trendy name because of Jon Snow.
There's John, I've spelt it J-O-N, as in Jon Snow. That's becoming more popular.
I was annoyed by that. And then Luna was mentioned there. Matt's contribution off the back of it, because they ran out of time, was, I've got a donkey called Luna.
I've got a donkey called Luna.
Have you?
Yeah. Got a donkey called Luna.
So that's what I learned
that's
this
great.
Year.
I didn't know anything half as good as that.
Can I mention the name of the play? Elizabeth McGovern, her first play. So this was a game of props that they had, where they brought out two props, shoved them in the faces of McGovern and Broderick to make them feel even more uncomfortable, and sort of said, now, do you recognise these? Share your anecdotes about these props.
And we've got some props here, haven't we?
Oh, yes, there we have.
We want you to set the record straight and explain.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Why we've got them. Yes.
And his was not one.
It was somebody... taking a phone call during a play.
Right.
In the audience. That was literally the story. Somebody's phone rang, they answered it, and everyone stopped whilst they had a conversation.
Fairly recently, I was doing a play, and a woman... You know, sometimes you'll hear a phone ring or something, or somebody didn't turn their ringer off. But this was a ring, and then... Or maybe not a ring, but a very loud conversation.
That was his story.
Right, OK.
Elizabeth McGovern, on the other hand, set fire to a theatre. which is much better.
Which escalated quickly.
a part of a play, and this is what I liked about it, but what I didn't like about it was nobody asked the question.
Yeah. Mm.
She said, I was in this play, it was called Dwarf Man, Maker of a Million Shapes. Stop the show! Stop the one show! It was called what?
Dwarf Man, Maker of a Million Shapes.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Why isn't that in the West End?
What? I can't even begin to imagine what it's about.
I haven't Googled it yet, but I'm going to.
Yes, do.
Fuck me.
I know. And then during it, though, she said I had to light a match and throw the match away, but I did, and normally it went out, and didn't. It caught fire, and it was behind me, and I was still doing my lines while trying to put it out.
I imagine, as the stage burned, the audience cheered.
Yes!
Like, burning dwarves, stop this terrible play! Well, I learnt nothing. But I did like the fact that we had another little bit of chat about US TV syndication.
Yes!
From
yes!
the guy from Modern Family.
Whose name I've forgotten.
Yeah.
Eric Stone Street.
If you're on commission for saying Eric Stone Street, I am furious.
We'll live on in syndication and on DVD. And.
But yeah, I love to hear chat. The Americans don't realise that we don't know what syndication is. And last week, the kids from Fame had a brilliant 5 minutes of just talking about syndication non-stop.
Any other business? Anything that you think we've missed out? Anything you want to bring up?
It was never addressed why the man in Morecambe didn't have any shoes on.
Yes, yes, yes. You're right. I thought that. Mm. Why?
Why was he? Everyone else was wearing wellies. They were walking across Morecambe Bay, which is obviously like kind of wet sand.
Yeah.
Notoriously dangerous.
Hugely dangerous.
Didn't mention the cockle pickers either, I noticed.
No. Glossed over that one, didn't they? Yeah. So this is a man called Cedric. Who is the. Now, the way they got into it was about the royals again, tenuously somewhere. Oh, so he's the man. One of the Queen's employees is retiring from his job. And he for his job he gets paid £15 a year. And he's the keep. What was the title? He's the keeper of the.
The murderer of the princesses.
The one Prince Philip paid to crash the car. No? What?
Keeper of the sands or
keeper
something?
The
like
Queen's
that?
Keeper of the sands. Mm. The Queen's guide to the sands. 86 year old Cedric. And his job is to escort people across Morecambe Bay safely.
Cedric Robertson is retiring and handing his role of Queen's guide to the sands to someone new. The route across the sands is known as the most dangerous highway in Britain, and it's the job of the Queen's Guide to take people across safely.
Now, he's been doing it since he was 14, or he's been living there since, so he knows the shape of the sand and where it's safe and where it isn't.
When I was 14, no one died. When I was 15, no one died.
It was very much like that.
Right.
Yeah, and then all these cockle figures.
Yeah, I went on holiday.
Yeah, when I was 75... Some people died.
But he's being forced to retire. He doesn't want to retire. He's quite angry about it.
I bet he doesn't want to retire, because, I mean, I don't think it's much of a job, is it?
15 quid a year comes in very handy.
Yeah. I'll be Morecambe. Yeah. Buy a flat. Yeah. So he doesn't want to retire.
He's literally passed the laurel branch to a local fisherman who is now... The Queen's Guide to the Sands.
Right. The Queen got there a lot, does she?
Prince Philip does, because they had a photo of him being shown across the sand by Cedric.
Really?
Didn't think to push him into the quick bit.
Oh, I can...
They put laurel branches in the safe bits, like... And isn't the modern technology that could do this now? Yeah, GPS, but we still stick laurel branches in to show people the safe way to... I wouldn't risk walking across Morecambe Bay, because... People died.
Yeah. People died. It's
Prince
very
Philip
dangerous.
Walked down a very sort of quiet bit, quite happily, until suddenly running into the side of a woman with a baby and flipping her over onto her roof.
You're just pushing immigrants into the sand. Pick those cockles.
Again, because of the birth of Harry and Meghan's child this week, they one show, they've very much got that thing of we are the official, voice of the nation. Yeah. And so they had that, it's wonderful here, here he is. Archie, such a great name, and it's all that stuff that I just think is angling for, Sir Matt Baker. I really believes he thinks, sooner or later he'll get a knighthood, because he's the ubiquitous face on TV. He's fucking rickshaw.
Yeah.
He loves the animals. He does a lot of work for the hunters or whatever he does in the country. countryside. I don't know. I don't trust anyone from the countryside. But again, that slightly sort of obsequious stuff that really doesn't exist in modern society other than in the opening 2 minutes of the one show.
And the only thing I want to mention was Elizabeth McGovern's roaring noise.
Yeah, that was odd.
So she tried, you know, we mentioned she tried to burn a theatre down, but then she did an impression of what that sounded like. Mm. It sounded like this. And I think that's a good place to finish.
She sounds fun.
Doesn't she?
I'm going to write a play for her. It's called Dwarf Man, Master of Mirror Shapes 2.
That's it. We'll be back next week. Please do rate and review. Tell your friends about this podcast. We do only accept 5-star ratings and glowing reviews. Anything else, we simply pass on to BBC Sounds. This podcast is suitable for vegans. Now, remember this, and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the one show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Hi guys, Shangela Sepafemu here, telling you to please listen to the Brian and Roger podcast. Now, I don't know who's written it, but whoever it is probably a genius. So I think you should give it a listen, because it's such great stuff.
Great Big Owl.